John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 reads, "In the beginning was the Word of God, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made."
Please be seated. Good morning, church. It is a wonderful day to be here. It is a wonderful day to be a child of God and worshiping together in spirit and truth. We have been engaged in a series on who is Jesus. And as we have looked into what the scripture says about Jesus, we notice that Jesus himself asked the question, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And he gets many answers there in Matthew chapter 13. He's John the Baptist, he's Jeremiah, he's one of the other prophets, he's all kinds of people, and he looks and he says, "But who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" And we took note of the fact that this is the most important question that you will ever answer in your life. Because how you answer this question and how you respond to your answer to this question will determine your eternal destination. It's that important. Jesus in John chapter 14, verses 6, and the first part of verse 7 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." And then he then goes on to say that, "I have represented the Father on this earth." You go down two more verses, he says, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." Who do you say that I am? Last week, as we looked into Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, along with several other passages there in the book of Hebrews, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifice. I read past where I said I was going to. I just got excited. But we noted last week when we look at the question, who is Jesus, that he is our great high priest. He ever lives to make intercession for us. He is at the right hand of the throne. And he's communicating with the Father as he's interceding for us. He is our go-between. He is the one that ushers our way into the presence of God. And today, as we worshiped, the only way that we were permitted into the throne room of God to worship was because of the blood of Jesus Christ, our great high priest who shed his own blood, not the blood of another, not the blood of an animal, his own blood to provide our way into his presence. We have such a great high priest. Today we're going to look at another answer to the question, who do you say that I am? Would you pray with me, please? Holy Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the many blessings that we have in this life, and we're so grateful, Father, for your precious Son. Father, we know he is the Christ. We know he is your Son. And we pray, Father, that as we continue to study and continue to grow, that we would come to this understanding more and more day by day as to who your Son is to us and to the whole world. Help us to glorify you by glorifying him in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to return to Hebrews today, to chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. There are many who believe that what we call the letter to the Hebrews was actually a sermon that was recorded. One of the things they point out is it does not have a customary introduction to it. It doesn't say, from so-and-so to the church here, to the dispersed, to this group of people, greetings, grace to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't have any of those things that typically start off a letter. That doesn't mean this wasn't a letter, but that's what people, you know, scholars look at that and they say, maybe this was a sermon that was preached. But it has a very odd beginning to this letter. odd in that it doesn't look like the other letters, but it certainly isn't odd as in peculiar. God, who at various times and in various ways in times past spoke to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance and obtained a more excellent name than they. Not a typical opening to a letter, would you say? But it begins, quite frankly, with the most important word in the Bible, God. The author and the subject of our Bibles. God, who in many different ways throughout the past, this is prior to the first century and Jesus coming into the world, has spoken to our fathers by the prophets, has in these last days, that is in the first century, spoken to us by his Son. The author of those words is declaring that Jesus, who spoke to us in these last days, supersedes all of the prophets. He is the greatest revelation to come to the earth to reveal to us who God is and what his desire for us is. All of the prophets, they were preparing us for Christ. Now, in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. And there's a very interesting phrase that follows in verse 2. Through whom he made the worlds. Through whom? That would be his Son. He, God, the Father, made the worlds. Worlds there is plural. It's plural for a reason, because that symbolizes and signifies to us the entirety of the universe. All of the worlds, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything in existence, Jesus made at the Father's command. Now, a lot of people will go, well, I just don't really understand, you know, because it says in Genesis chapter 1, God made the heavens and the earth. Yes, he did. But it's like an architect and a contractor working together to construct a home. The architect has the design, has the plan, and the builder puts that plan into reality. Was the home built by the architect? Sure. Because it never would have been built without him. Was the architect built, was the creation, the building, built by the contractor? Yes, it was. They worked together. Through Jesus, God made the worlds. Why is that important? It's important for a number of reasons. I want to direct your attention to our scripture reading that just came about a few moments ago in John chapter 1:1-3, and then we're going to throw in verse 14. John chapter 1:1-3, and also verse 14. Please do not overlook the three opening words of the Gospel of John. In the beginning. This is identical grammatical construction in the original language between Genesis 1 and John 1. It's identical. In the beginning, they're both talking about the same thing. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Look at verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. dropping down to verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When John says the Word was with God and the Word was God, and then a few verses later says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, who was the Word? Well, that was Jesus Christ, God's Son. Jesus was the one through whom all things were made. And without him, nothing was made that was made. You see, he became flesh. He wasn't flesh. When you look in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, doesn't Jesus tell us in John chapter 4, verse 24, that God is spirit? So he had the very form of God. Being in the very form of God, did not consider it robbery or something to be held tightly to and not let go of, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. How did that happen? Because God the Son came down and became a human being. Not abracadabra human being, but through the womb of a woman for 9 months. Became a baby born into this world. Became a toddler. Became a child. Became an adolescent. Became an adult. He became flesh. He didn't just assume it for himself. It became his dwelling place, just like we dwell in our flesh. The Word became flesh. This Word was face to face with God in the beginning. Shows that he was not created because he was already there. Everything that was created through him. Apart from him, nothing existed that doesn't exist. Apart from him, everything exists that does exist. That's, look at verse 3. It's stated in the negative and it's stated in the positive. Without him, nothing was made that was made. Nothing was made without him that wasn't made. All things, he says, here's the positive, were made through him. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke to our fathers through the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the worlds. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. So now we have the Hebrew writer, and we have the Apostle John, both telling us that Jesus is responsible for creation. It doesn't say he and he alone, because we know God the Father was the architect. He was there. But Jesus was there. Jesus is the creator. He's not just a second-rate God. He's not just a man who became God. He's not John the Baptist. He's not Elijah. He's not one of the prophets. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he is the creator of all things. For the remainder of our time, I'd like to direct your attention to Colossians chapter 1. We have the Hebrew writer, whom is anonymous. There are many theories about who wrote Hebrews, but we really don't know for sure. We have John, the apostle, and now let's look at what the apostle Paul has to say about Jesus. Let's look at verses 13 through 20 together of the first chapter of Colossians. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Now, Paul says a whole lot here in a short period of time, and we don't want to get bogged down in this section of Scripture, but we do want to flesh it out this morning. We want to pay attention to what is being said about Jesus in these verses, because this is a critical place for us to look into who is Jesus. We see that in verse 16, all things were created by him and for him. By him. Okay, we've covered that in John and Hebrews, but for him. He made creation for himself. Why? Because the Word had to become flesh and he had to have a place to live so that he could become our great high priest, our sacrifice, our way, the truth, and the life, our way to the Father. Verse 17, he is before all things. He predates everything because he is from eternity past. He is an eternal being. How do you kill an eternal being? You can't. He has to become a human before he can die. It's the only way he could be sacrificed was to take on flesh. Verse 17, through him, all things consist. Second part of verse 17 tells us that Jesus, by his own will, holds all things together. Do you know why gravity works? It's because Jesus determines that it works. I want you to think about that for just a moment. He holds all things together. There was a song that came out a number of years ago, back in, I think it was about 1968 or 1969. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. How can you sing that song if he doesn't hold all things together? He holds all things together. He has the power to do that. Now, why does it matter that he's the creator? Why can't we just say, well, in the beginning, God? Why can't we say that? Well, three of our New Testament writers have expanded upon what Genesis 1:1 says. John the Apostle, an anonymous writer in Hebrews, and Paul the Apostle have all commented on Jesus as creator. It must be important for us to recognize him and identify him as creator. The Bible is very important. Now, I don't know how it was where you grew up, but I know in my house, if my mom stuck her head out the door and said dinner in a loud voice, that it should be just a very brief amount of time. We should be running in the door, going to the sink to wash our hands and sitting down at the table. If my mom had to yell more than once, my dad got involved. Some of you may remember those days. And if Dad had to be disturbed to get us to come inside for dinner, our dinner was going to be enjoyed through tears because he didn't play around. Now, why do I say that? Because if God tells you something one time, it's important. If he tells you three times, you better pay attention. You understand? He's telling you three different times that Jesus is our creator. Why? Because it must mean something extremely important to us. He made everything a 20 billion light year from one end to the other universe and everything that is contained therein. Every animal, plant, all of the elements that allow life to exist. He's holding all of those things together on his own. Why does the earth sit there at the exact distance from the sun that it is constantly? We say, well, the gravitational pull. Really? Well, how come it isn't getting closer if there's gravitational pull? Why does it just sit there in the same place as it circumnavigates the sun over and over and over again? Because he is holding it together. Now, if he did all of that, I want you to think about salvation for just a moment, because the Apostle Paul writes that right into this text about Jesus being our creator. Verse 13 says, we have been delivered from the power of darkness. Darkness has an immense power in this world. The prince of darkness, the fallen angel, who because of pride fell and was cast out of heaven, Satan. He was so perfect that he became prideful. And now he knows his fate, and he's doing everything he can to disrupt this world, to disrupt what God has put in place. He is seeking to destroy God's people. That's you and me. But we've been delivered from that power. That doesn't mean we still don't live in a world where that power exists, but we've been delivered into the kingdom of his beloved Son, where we are protected. Verse 14 says, we have been provided the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, we don't live without blood. Some of us may recall many years ago in our history books that our founding father, our first president, the father of our country, General George Washington, died from pneumonia. How many of you grew up reading that in history books or heard that? Quite a few hands. Do you know what killed George Washington? Leeches. He had pneumonia. And a doctor bled him to death, trying to bleed out the bad blood. Yet the book of Leviticus tells us that the life is in the blood. Written 1,500 years before Christ, almost 3,500 years before George Washington comes to the earth, and we still bleed the man to death. And he wasn't the only person in history that suffered that fate. Blood is necessary for us to live, but it is also necessary for us to live eternally.